Hi, welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast, Fertile at 40. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. After many health complications due to alcohol addiction and an eating disorder that ruled my world for close to 20 years, I was told I would never have children. At 38, I naturally and surprisingly fell pregnant, and the transition from maiden to mother was wrought with love, grief, excitement, and healing. Becoming a mama was about far more than just soothing stitches and learning how to care for a tiny human. It was, and still is, a relearning of who I am and what I am truly capable of. After over two challenging years trying to conceive a second baby since, I gratefully and naturally conceived my second child just as I turned 41, after three losses and heaps of heartache. I am a doula in training, holistic chef, teacher of yoga, and a childbirth educator, and I am here to share my story because I know it's not just mine. Join me each week for unbiased convos with a no-bullshit approach to faith, infertility, conscious conception, and connected pregnancy, with birth stories, expert interviews, and personal anecdotes to help tell the story of creation. Welcome. Now let's do this. One last thing before we get into the conversation, I want to remind you that this podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, pregnancy, and childbirth related subjects. The content here should not be taken as medical advice, and the content here is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult with your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Meg Pearson Podcast. I am your host, Meg Pearson. I'm so excited to have you here. This is a solo episode this week, and I just wanted to give you guys a couple of updates on some stuff that I've been going on. Well, I'm pregnant and my brain is not functioning at its highest capacity, but that's totally okay. 24 weeks pregnant with baby number two. So grateful. Oh my God. So grateful for this pregnancy. So grateful for this gift that we've been given to be welcoming another amazing little soul earthside in July of this year. So we are, at the time of this episode going live, 24 weeks pregnant. Baby's about the size of a large eggplant. I have been experiencing sleeplessness because of crazy, vivid, wild, wild dreams. Also, discomfort by the end of the day. My legs, they get restless and achy and tingly. So that's been causing some trouble for me sleeping, as is indigestion. So I am sleeping propped up, almost fully sitting up some nights to deal with that, which is a symptom that I also had with my first daughter, Kobe, who is now 2 years and about 9 months old. But other than that, feeling really, really great. Not as exhausted as I was earlier on in the pregnancy, so been able to get a lot accomplished on my massive list of things that I'm trying to get done between now and when this baby comes, including launching my new business, which is, as you probably can imagine, relating to empowered and conscious pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and conscious parenting. And a big part of this has been something that, you know, I've been working on in behind the scenes for about a year and a half, 2 years now, was gathering up a lot of expertise, knowledge, wisdom, doing some trainings and certifications as a doula and a childbirth educator so that I can not only have all of this information for myself to empower myself through this pregnancy, but to also be able to help other birthing families do the same. So I'm super stoked. I'm going to be offering my version of this, of childbirth education courses online and in person in the future. Probably my first round will be in June. So if that's something you're interested in, make sure that you go to my website and sign up for my newsletter. Get onto my email insiders tribe so you can be the first to get information about that stuff. And I'm also going to be opening up my coaching practice once again for some new spaces for those that are looking for just some guidance and support through the conception journey, pregnancy path, as well as, and I think probably the most important period, but in the postpartum time. And of course, I will be moving through all of that myself again through July, August, September of this year. So really excited to connect with other fellow mamas out there and hold space for that. Stay tuned. I'll be holding some mother circles and divine feminine ceremonies online virtually very, very soon. And I'll be announcing those through my newsletter. So make sure you, if you're signed up, if you're not signed up for there, you get signed up. You best get signed up. And I'm going to put drop a link to do that in the show notes for this episode. So what I wanted to just talk about briefly here today are some reality checks that I think we all, as if we're moving into this portal of pregnancy and birth, having some realistic expectations when it comes to what birth looks like is really, really important. I've been sharing a lot of birth stories here on the podcast, as you know. I've had women from all walks of life with all different types of birth experiences, hospital births that went to plan, home births that were the magical experience they were hoping for, and also people that have had, like myself included, the intention of a certain type of birth and it completely turning out differently. And if there's anything that we really need to understand and trust in this realm of bringing a new soul earthside is that things don't always go to plan. And in fact, having a plan can often set us up for disaster. Probably best if we have intention and information and education so that we can be empowered no matter what happens in the birth experience. When I'm working with women in my coaching practice that are preparing to give birth, I always love to say that it's important that we have, if we want to call it a plan, that we have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. Plan A being, you know, the fairy tale birth that you envision with the twinkly lights and the scented candles and the tub and everyone there celebrating you with the dim light. Plan B being what it would look like if that plan couldn't go as desired and what it might look like if other interventions are possibly introduced, etc., etc. And then plan C is C for cesarean. If for some reason you do have to be transferred to a hospital or transferred from your labor and delivery to an OR to have an emergency C-section, what are your desires with that as well? Because if we do not think about these other realities, these other possible timelines, then when push comes to shove, things might actually fall further out of alignment with our intentions because we haven't prepared and voiced what we do or do not want in any and all of these situations. So it's really, really important, I believe, to have an A, B, and C plan at least. And I like to refer to it as intentions rather than a plan. Now, some other reality checks is this. A lot of the women that I've spoken to on my podcast have had rather quick first-time deliveries, which is not the norm, okay? The average length of labor for most first-time parents is approximately 24 hours, and the pushing phase can be 2 to 3 hours for those folks. Now, second labors tend to be about half the length of the first labor, so that's something exciting to think about. Now, for myself, I'm like, great, because Kobe, gosh, probably all in all, it was 12 hours tops, but really, I didn't really have any heavy contractions until about 7, 8 p.m. and she was born at 11. So it was really, really quick. So fully prepared for Mr. Ozman to come into the world a lot quicker if he chooses to decide to do that. Now, the thing is that these are just averages and it could completely flop to each side of the curve here. So preparing yourself for a 36 plus hour labor can be helpful when coping through contractions and remembering that birth is a marathon, right? We have to pace ourselves. When things slow down, maybe take a rest, have a snack, sleep if you can, right? Really, really important. Now, reality check number two, for a lot of us first-time parents, we often think that we're further along than we are. You know, mama, oh my gosh, the contractions are feeling so strong. I must be so close to pushing. You know, it's super common for those in labor to think that they're a lot further along than they actually are. Labor is powerful. And when the active labor portion begins, most women think that this is the most intense part. In reality, transition and pushing tends to be much more so. And this can, of course, vary to person as well. Now, Some women also find pushing to be a relief, while others struggle through this as being the hardest time. So to make things, a bit more confounding, some women may show signs of active labor when your cervix is still at 2 to 4 centimeters, right? So it's important to know that it's not just the contractions that are doing the dilation of the cervix. Like, it's not just the contractions alone, right? The contractions help navigate your baby into the birth canal and on the birth path. Your baby must also make several turns. Your baby's not doing a straight shot down towards the cervix, right? She's twisting and turning in order to help support labor. And sometimes contractions seem super strong and you have symptoms of active labor or transition simply because your body is trying to get the baby into position. Now, reality number 3, logic gets tossed out the window for many, 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 many laboring people. Some of us have this whole birth plan or list of intentions down, and then when push comes to shove and we are in this crazy space between the worlds, labor land, you know, when we're committed to have an unmedicated birth, when someone comes in and offers us, you know, pain relief, sometimes we just throw our entire plan out the window because it feels so unbearable. Sometimes, you know, birthing people, mothers at some point, they just start saying they can't do it and they're ready to go home. They want to just give up. They want someone like to tag team in, you know, I am done. Someone take over. And it sounds almost so, so crazy, right? At this point, when this type of stuff is happening, a birthing person needs, you know, so much support. In many, many, many forms. Sometimes they need verbal affirmation that they are doing great. They need support of their support team, whether it's a doula or a family member, whoever's in there that is really, really versed on what the intentions were for the birth. And it's just really important that we continue to encourage the birthing person through this time. I know for myself and my first birth with Kobe, I had an idea of what I wanted and my partner and I had discussed it, but in the throes of the drama of, you know, my partner seeing me, writhing in pain, we hadn't been cut in clear enough conversation about when I become crazy and say things like, yes, give me the epidural, for him to try to talk me out of it. Because in my heart of hearts, no, I did not want to, but we ended up doing it anyways, right? So it's really important that we have these pre-conversations, that we have the support team in place. So 100% we're working with a doula this time around, so that we are going to have that third party to speak on my behalf when I start to go loopy. But it is a reality. Things do kind of go wonky, and it's important to stand our ground as much as we can. Now, reality number 4 is labor, for the most part, for a lot of people, starts at night, right? It starts at night because there's a relationship and a correlation between melatonin and oxytocin, which is, we all know oxytocin is the one of the big, big, big hormones present during labor and birth. So this is the reason why many pregnant people experience Braxton Hicks, which are the practice contractions in the evening. Now, prolactin is also highest at night, which is why this can cause people to wake up in the middle of the night the last few weeks of pregnancy. So this is nature's way of preparing us, at least this is what I like to believe. This is nature's way of preparing us for our nightly feeding, so getting us used to being up through the night. Now, reality number 5 is that an ideal birth really doesn't exist. There's simply, and the, you know, we all have the idea of what an ideal birth is for me and under our specific circumstances, but labor and birth can be so unpredictable. It's so important that we all keep an open mind and be prepared to handle situations as they arise, because everything is so in flow. Now, there's nothing wrong with meditating on your vision of what your dream birth will look like, but planning for the unexpected does not make any of these things more likely to occur. So having this plan B and plan C is not, having those does not mean you're putting it out into the universe that this is what I want. I want to have to go to plan B. I want to have a cesarean, right? You're not doing that. But what you're doing is just helping yourself be better prepared to have the birth that you can feel good about, no matter what it ends up looking like. And that is my goal with this. And I've spoken about this on the podcast before. I'm hoping to have an empowered birth, however it needs to look, for Mr. Oz to come to the world this July. Do I have a vision of what it could look like at home with the midwife and our doula. Yes. And I'm going to talk more about that in an upcoming episode about what that's exactly going to look like for us here in Costa Rica. But I'm also staying so open to other possibilities, because if I learned anything from my first birth experience and from all the conversations I've had with, like, at this point, hundreds of women about theirs, and so we need to stay open. And the minute we think we have things under control, the universe laughs in our face. Now, doesn't it? All right, my friends, that is it. That is it for today. I don't have anything else to say other than please, please, please share the podcast with anyone that you know that is trying to conceive, that is pregnant, that has transitioned recently into the postpartum phase. I'm going to have so many amazing more guests lined up in the coming months. Even through the whole time that I'm on mat leave, I'm going to have new episodes every week from experts from all across the board, from lactation to toddler eating to potty training to conscious parenting of young children, everything Montessori experts, and so much more. So share the podcast, please. Grab a screen grab, tag us on Instagram. Go to my website, sign up for the email insiders, and I can't wait to be working more closely with many of you guys in my programs so soon. Stay tuned. In June, I'll be announcing some big things. Love you, and I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at Fertile@40podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more info on today's show, please head on over to the podcast website at meganpearson.ca/podcast. Until next time.